ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3rd, Chapter 21st, Verse number 41. Matta dvijagne kushtam. Matta dvijagne kushtam.
Matta dvijagne kushtam.
Matta brahmara vibramam.
Matta brahmara vibramam.
Matta brahmara vibramam. मत्तबर्हिनतातोपम् अहवयन्मतकोकिलम् मत्तद्विजाग्नेर्गुष्टम् मत्त भ्रमर विभ्रमम् मत्त बर्हि न तातोपम् अहवयन् मत कोकिलम् मत्त द्विजाग्नेर्गुष्टम् मत्त भ्रमर विभ्रमम् मत्त बर्हि न तातोपम् आवयन मत कोकिलम। वर्ड फॉर वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। मत्ता ओवरजॉयड। द्विज ऑफ बर्ड्स। गनहे बाय फ्लॉक्स। कुष्टम रिसाउंडेड। मत्ता इंटॉक्सिकेटेड। भ्रमर of bees, vibhramam, wandering, matta, maddened, barhi, of peacocks, nata, of dancers, atopam, pride, ahavayat, calling one another, matta, merry, kokilam, cuckoos. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The area resounded with the notes of overjoyed birds. Intoxicated bees wandered there. Intoxicated peacocks proudly danced, and merry cuckoos called one another. Maybe we can repeat the translation. The area resounded with the notes of overjoyed birds.
Intoxicated bees
wandered there.
Intoxicated peacocks
proudly danced,
and
merry cuckoos
called one another.
Purport. The beauty of the pleasant sounds heard in the area surrounding Lake Bindu Sarovar is described here. After drinking honey, the black bees became maddened and they hummed in intoxication. Merry peacocks danced just like actors and actresses, and merry cuckoos called their mates very nicely. We'll just read two more verses because it's just description of Bindu Sarovar. Who can you reduce it? That humming sound is coming here also. Verse 42-43. Lake Bindu Sarovar was adorned with flowering trees such as Kadamba, Champak, Ashoka, Karanja, Bakula, Asana, Kunda, Mandara, Kutaja, and young mango trees. The air was filled with the pleasing notes of Karandava ducks, plovers, swans, ospreys, waterfowl, cranes, chakravakas, and chakoras. Purport. For most of the trees, flowers, fruits, and birds mentioned here are surrounding Bindu Sarovar Lake. English synonyms cannot be found. All the trees mentioned are very pious in that they produce a nice aromatic flower such as Champak, Kadamba and Bakula. The sweet sounds of waterfowl and cranes made the surrounding area as pleasant as possible and created a very suitable spiritual atmosphere. Verse 44. Its shores abounded with deers, boars, porcupines, gavayas, elephants, baboons, lions, monkeys, mongoose and musk deer. Purport. Musk deer are not found in every forest, but only in places like Bindu Sarovar. They are always intoxicated by the aroma of musk secreted from their navels. Gavayas, the species of cows mentioned herein, bear a bunch of hair at the end of their tail. This bunch of hair is used in temple worship to fan the deities. Gavayas are sometimes called chamaris, and they are considered very sacred. In India, there are still gypsies or forest mercantile people who flourish by trading kasturi or musk and bunch of hairs from the chamaris. These are always in great demand for the higher classes of Hindu population, and such business still goes on in large cities and villages in India. Om Agyanatimi Randasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I still don't know why I've been asked to give class, but I tried yesterday also to not give, but Gopandesh Prabhu had instructed, so the blessings of seniors, I would like to start. This is an amazing description of Bindu Sarovar, which is so special because it is not ordinary water which has come from the ground or anywhere else, which is the tears of Lord Himself, which is due to the affection He had for His devotee Kardama Muni. And a nice description is given how the beauty is surrounding Bindu Sarovar, like we hear similar descriptions of certain lakes or ponds. For example, whether it's Radha Kund, Sham Kund, or so many Manasi Ganga and so many places in Vrindavan around Govardhan, where similar description or even far better description is given about the beauty of that place. So here, especially coming to the purport of verse 44, musk deer and this gavayas, these two species are described by Prabhupada in the purport. So musk, of course, it's all now fake fragrance which we get. This musk, original musk perfumes even now are very, very expensive if someone can afford it. But chamara we use in temples. But I'm not sure whether it comes from the tail of that similar cow, because as it says in the purport, higher classes of Hindu population for temple worship would use such chamaras which we use to fan the Lord. So that is the tail hair from that specific cow which is mentioned in the purport. But a very interesting animal is mentioned in the purport, which is musk deer. And the speciality of this animal is that he produces or he secretes a very powerful fragrance, musk fragrance, which is so intoxicating that even this deer himself is wandering in the whole forest in search of that same fragrance. So he even risks his own life because he is really intoxicated and mad after this fragrance. So he runs here and there and goes to all extents to somehow reach where this fragrance is coming from. And interestingly, this is a similar phenomena we all live and everyone lives in our lives, where we so many extents. So many risks are taken in life in search of that same intoxicating happiness which we are aspiring for, which is there within us. If we understand who we are in our relationship with God. So, a great deal of risk and sacrifices a materialist, a common man, including us as practicing devotees, we do. But if a similar reflection can be done towards our own lives, we are no better than the musk deer in most of the ways. But on the other hand, Bhagavatam talks about three types of transcendentalists. So we'll be discussing in that direction today. Which says, these three types of transcendentalists, which are Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagwaneti, Shabdete, like it says, those who are after the Brahman effulgence, those yogis who are after the Paramatma within their heart, to see the Paramatma, realize Paramatma within their heart, and devotees who wants to serve, worship and associate with the Supreme Lord directly. So here, Kardam Muni's pastime is going on, where, of course, everyone has already given a summary, so we will not get into that. Where Kardam Muni has already seen the Lord, and the Bindu Sarovar has come because Lord came in the presence of Kardam Muni, and he had tears out of affection. So Kardam Muni, who can see the Lord, of course we very easily can understand, is not an ordinary yogi or a rishi or a sage, because Lord himself has appeared in front of him. So it's very interesting, in the same chapter, in verse 14, this is verse 41 to 44 which we read, in the same chapter in verse 14, Kardam Muni is saying that how foolish or how less intelligent are those people who worship you, who serve you, who meditates on you for a materialistic purpose. When I was just reading through it, it just contradicted in my own mind that in verse 14 he is saying that less intelligent people worship you for a material gain, and immediately in verse 15 he says, I want a wife. Straight away after that, to fulfill my lustful desire. So when I read that, I was thinking, Kardam Muni is not an ordinary person, he is in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in future chapters, we will see how powerful Kardam Muni is. He is not an ordinary yogi like Saubari Muni or anyone else. Just by his will, he produced so much opulence on the request of Devahuti. Because Devahuti, when in next chapter it will come, and next to next chapter also, that Devahuti will marry Kardam Muni, and she is a princess. She has all the opulence, all the wealth, all beauty. She was very, very beautiful. And then Kardam Muni is a sage who lives in his hermitage, a very simple, very, very simple life. But she is attracted to Kardam Muni's qualities, and she serves Kardam Muni in that same capacity, in that same simplicity. She did not come to his place and then started demanding, because I am a princess, now give me the same facilities as I was having before. So she comes and she serves Kardam Muni to that extent where, what to speak of her old simple clothes, her body becomes completely worked out, completely emaciated. She is very ugly, not beautiful anymore, and she is very thin. And now she has one desire after serving her husband so faithfully. And Kardam Muni, in his meditation, completely overlooked what she was going through. So she desired that my dear husband, now I need a child. I desire to have a child. But for to have a child, I need a suitable body. I need at least some opulence is required. And then Kardam Muni could see that she has been serving him so faithfully, and it's his duty to fulfill her desire. So just when he understands that she has that desire, just by his will, he produces such an opulence which none of the demigods have ever seen. And it was not that there were people creating it. It just appeared. The whole city, the whole plane which was moving around had such an opulence. So that is Kardamuni. Even Lord Brahma, other great demigods, even great sages then who are above the devatas, were surprised to see such opulence which Kardamuni just produced out of his mystic power. And he is not just a yogi, he has seen the Lord face to face. He has devotion in his heart. In his prayers we can see that very clearly. So, but when he says that I also have this lustful desire in this chapter previously, before this verses, the immediate point which came to my mind was that he is a materialist, mixed yogi or a devotee. But he is just playing a part in the plan of the Lord, where Lord Brahma is instructing him on behalf of the Lord to do creation. Today morning only I was thinking that how many devotees or how many people outside gets this opportunity to fulfill their material desires as part of Lord's plan. Means we all have material desires, but Lord uses us to fulfill his own plan using our material desires. Of course, many devotees are used by the Lord. Like someone who is preaching, he has a desire to become famous, to be known, to be glorified. And the Lord has a purpose to preach, to spread his name. So that devotee is used, but it's purified, and a devotee ends up practically hating his own glorification. He doesn't desire for it. So the Lord has his own plans to use his own devotees. But for us who are beginning devotees, at least some of us, I am there, who we need sadhana bhakti as a means to come to that stage, or a stage where we can desire pure devotional service all the time, not just theoretically. So sadhana bhakti, which is recommended with lot of rules and regulations for us in the beginning stages, just going through it, and it's a very nice tip for all of us, where especially when sense control is required, because sadhana bhakti has a major principle, which means following the four regulative principles. And in that, sense control is very vital, because if we see in our daily lives, our senses are not agitated all the time. They're attracted to opposite sex or something very palatable or something, any sense object, but they are not agitated all the time. Occasionally they get agitated when we are about to lose control, when someone makes us angry. Not that every time we get angry and start to fight and beat that person or shout at that person, but it does happen that we get agitated, which is we are about to lose control. Same thing happens when lust attacks, and same thing happens when we see something palatable. If you have already had simple khichdi and salad and your stomach is full, a very attractive meal will not agitate you the way it will agitate when you are in a different way. So it's the same senses which are not agitated all the given times. So scripture says that when the time comes when you can see that it is really getting agitated, that is the time, if we can practice this one principle. Like there is a saying, especially in India, they say that when wild winds are blowing, when tufan is there, hurricane or very heavy winds are blowing, very strong, then the best thing you can do is find a spot and quietly sit there till the heavy wind settles down. don't become a hero and go in the strong wind continuing activities. It will just take you away. Recently, it happened that strong winds were blowing. It was strong, means very strong, and everyone was standing there holding on to something, or most of the people were lying down. But one boy, it was in the news, one boy was not holding on to anything. Wind lifted him up almost 25 feet and then threw him down. So he had very severe injuries. So, same principle scriptures advise us that if you can see using your intelligence, if everyone actually can see that we are just getting agitated, it's the time. If that time we don't act on it, just peacefully sit down, then it gradually settles down. And if such a training can be given again and again and again by not acting on that agitation, it settles down for good. Anger is a very special example in that. If when we get angry, if that time we don't react, okay, we just a thought comes in the mind, okay, later I'll speak to that person. He agitated me. I'll not get angry now. Later I'll speak. In most of the cases, it doesn't bother you after that because it settles down. And if this practice continues, one can overcome anger. Same principle for lust or any other anarthas. So, this is our type of austerity, our type of hardships a devotee goes through, where, especially in Kali Yuga, if you see, things are pretty easy in terms of realizing God, to chant Krishna's name, to control the mind, which is for our good, because we only end up in problem when mind is out of control. And then eat prasad and serve devotees. Whereas if we see in previous ages, the same, like here it says in Bhagavatam, Kardamuni meditated for 10,000 years and then Lord came face to face. So, he's a devotee who is meditating on the Lord, who understands the Lord is a person. You compare that same thing which in the same yuga, Hiranyakashipu had to go through to get Lord Brahma's boon. He had to meditate for 60,000 years, standing on tip of his toe, and his whole body was eaten by ants. And then Lord Brahma came, and what did he ask? All the boons, I should not be killed this way, that way, or in all other ways. And here is Kardamuni, which is much easier if you compare with Hiranyakashipu's austerities. It's 10,000 years. One has to remember that age has a lifetime of 100,000 years. So if we compare to ours, it means 10 years of austerity and we see Lord face to face. Or 10 years of devotional service, intense devotional service, and we see Lord face to face. If we compare from Satyuga, our average age is 100 years. And what is, we don't have to meditate like Kardamuni, we have to chant, eat prasad, associate with devotees and follow these four rules. So it's fairly easy. Whereas now also in Kali Yuga, if you see yogis, I've seen videos, I've seen personally also, these yogis, how much pain they take is literally, I've seen that yogi is, there is fire around him and of course sun is there, but he takes in a pot all burning coal and he puts on his chest and then he sits in his meditation. I saw it myself. So this is a yogi's meditation and this is our meditation, the comparison. For us, we just have to follow one principle, which is in Bhagavatam it says, that verse is very nice actually. Samasita ye padapallavam plavam mahatpadam punyeso murari bhavam buddhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. This huge task can be achieved by that first word, which is samasita, by taking shelter of the Lord, this huge task is achieved. And a very amazing example is given in Ramayana. This pastime is very, very instructive for all of us, especially practicing devotees, so that we have faith in what we are doing, and we know we are not wasting time. The result is much more powerful, much more greater than even expected by any great yogi or person who is doing meditation. So this is the time when Ravan wants powers, and he knows Lord Shiva has a city, Lanka, which is made of gold. So he undergoes so much austerities. Ravan was very learned. He knew all the Vedas. He was that learned. So Ravan meditates and worships Lord Shiva. And just see the intense meditation or the austerity Ravan had to go through. He had to cut his head and offer it to Lord Shiva 10 times. He had to cut his head 10 times, and then he asked for a boon from Lord Shiva, that I want that Lanka which is made of gold. This is Ravan's austerity. A comparison I'm just trying to make. And then Ravan enjoyed all the opulence. Ravan had two brothers. One was Kumbhakaran and the second was Vibhishan. And then when Ravan kidnapped Mother Sita, and that whole pastime happened where some of his ministers, including Vibhishan, were trying to explain him, return Sita back. Lord Ram is God himself. He'll destroy you. He'll kill you. Don't fight with Lord Ram. He's not ordinary person. Ravan gets agitated and he kicks Vibhishan out of Lanka, saying that you are Deshdrohi. You are against your own brother's desire. Against your own brother's wish and your own kingdom, which is Lanka. Because Vibhishan spoke the truth. He said, Lanka will be destroyed. You will be destroyed, Ravan. So Vibhishan was kicked out. So Vibhishan, with his few ministers, decided that I have to take shelter of Lord Ram. So he, from the aerial route, he comes to see Lord Ram. And these monkey soldiers who are protecting, and because Lord Ram and all the party were staying in tents near Lanka, they had already crossed the ocean. They saw Vibhishan and they were thinking, we will kill Vibhishan now because he is from the enemy side. But they said, okay, at least we'll check with Lord Ram. Then Lord Ram consulted Hanumanji, other generals. Some said, we cannot have faith in him. He is Asura. We should not have faith in him. But Hanumanji was in favor because he had seen Vibhishan when he went to see Mother Sita, that in Mangala Arati time, in early morning hours, he was chanting the names of Lord Ram. On that, there is little joke that in evening, it's easy, anyone can chant the names of the Lord. Even a show business can happen for in the evening. But if one chants the names of the Lord in early morning hours, that shows he's serious. He's serious about it. And so Vibhishan was chanting the names of the Lord in early morning hours. So it's easy. In the evening, it can be a tourist spot also to come and participate in kirtan and chant. Some relaxation, some peace of mind, something. But if someone is serious about his spiritual life, then early morning is he shows that yes. So Hanuman, he has seen Vibhishan chanting in the early morning hours, and he knows he is not a person who is just acting or is faking, or it's not a trick. Because this army, this military people would have many tricks to capture enemy. So Lord Ram allows him to come, and Vibhishan just comes in the tent where Lord Ram was sitting, and he just bows his head once in front of Lord Ram and he says, I have come here to take shelter of you. And Tulsidas ji, Valmiki ji, they make amazing comparison. He said Ravan had to cut his head 10 times to get that Lanka, and Ravan just bowed his head down not even cut once, but just bowed his head down once in front of Lord Ram, and Lord Ram gave him Lanka. So this is a comparison made. The hardships a materialist, a yogi has to go through, and the result a devotee gets with that same action. It's very nice how Lord Ram addresses him. Lord Ram says, Kaho Lankesh Sahit Parivara Kushal Kutha Har Basa Tumhara. He says, Oh Lankesh, he addresses him as King of Lanka, that I have already made you the King of Lanka. Tell me, how is everything in Lanka? Kushal Kutha Sab Basa Tumhara. So, it's amazing how Lord Ram has his very affectionate dealings with Vibhishan. So we see so many different examples in Bhagavatam and in our Vedic scriptures where a very great result is achieved by devotees, whereas we see in Dhruva Maharaj's pastime, 6 months of austerity gets darshan of Lord. Prahlad Maharaj heard Bhagavatam in the womb, and Narasimha Dev comes and protects him. His young boys. So many other examples. Which one was that? Yes, there are more different more examples which talk about the same principle. Yeah, Putana. Putana, that's a very famous pastime. Putana got the position of a nurse in spiritual world, and she did not even serve. She did not even do any devotional service in favorable devotional service. Like Bhagavatam, third canto, the same canto says, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam Chikkam Saya Payad Apiya Sadvi Leve Gatim Datarim Uchitam Tatanya Kamva Dayalu Sharanam Rajema. How one will not take shelter of such a Lord who is so merciful, so kind, that this Putana who came to kill him, but in the action of killing she offered her breast which was covered with poison, but she offered as mother to the Lord, and he accepted her as a mother and gave her the position as a mother in the spiritual world. So this is a comparison made. How much pain a devotee takes and how much pain a yogi or any other person who wants to achieve some benefit from the Lord, he has to take. Another devotee of Lord Shiva, who was Bhasmasur, who is also in Bhagavatam, who had to cut his flesh and offer it in the fire to get some benediction from Lord Shiva. And still Lord Shiva did not come, so he was about to cut his head. Can you imagine cutting your flesh and putting in the fire, and whole body, no flesh is left, only your head is left, and he cut his head to put in the fire, and then Lord Shiva comes and he asks him, give me a benediction so that whoever's head I touch, Bhasmasur, whoever's head I touch, the head will blast. So he had to do all that to get the audience of Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada has given us a process where you just chant Krishna's names, eat prasad, associate with devotees. We have heard this so many times, and we all have heard it so many times, but it does sound difficult. When we act on it, it's difficult. We've heard this so many times that it's very easy. Process, chant and be happy, chant Hare Krishna, your life will be sublime. So if these difficult processes are given, none of us will even attempt for it. Very rare people will even bother attempting for it. And that's why, because it's very, very simple. Because the process is very simple, some people doesn't have faith that really it will work. When you practice, then you will know that it does take some determination, but that determination is not your own strength. The Lord's mercy is also involved in it. And a very amazing pastime of Srila Prabhupada is there, I think that's Janaki Mataji or, not Janaki Mataji, Malati Mataji. One of the Matajis asked Srila Prabhupada, she was carrying a baby, she entered Prabhupada's room. And Matajis can understand, it's hard to carry the baby all the time. She entered the room and Prabhupada asked her, what do you think, which way is better to carry a baby? Monkey's way cat's way? Thank you. Which way is better to carry a baby? And she could not understand. She questioned again, what do you mean, Prabhupada? I can't understand. Prabhupada said, monkey's way to carry a baby is better or a cat's way? Then Prabhupada explained, monkey's way is, because she was carrying a baby like this, and neither monkey nor cat carries the baby like this. But Prabhupada just saw her carrying a baby, so that example came in his mind, because he was establishing a very powerful point. He said, monkey, the baby monkey carries on, the climbs on the back of mother, and with his own hands and strength, he holds the mother and mother runs. But for a kitten, the cat holds the kitten in her own mouth. So then Prabhupada says, the cat way is better, and that is the process of bhakti. And then he explained that process of jnana or these yogis is that on your own strength you have to carry. Like a baby monkey is carrying the mother, and if he loses the grip, then he falls down and mother continues to go. Or if mother comes back and pick the child up. But for kitten, it's mother's responsibility totally, because kitten is carried in the mouth of cat. So Prabhupada is giving this explanation. He was making this very strong point that a devotee is like a kitten, where Krishna is carrying the child in his, not in his mouth literally, but he completely takes charge of a devotee's life. He takes care of the devotee, whereas other processes of self-realization, other processes of attaining God, it's your individual own strength which you have to depend on to progress, to attain perfection. So this Prabhupada makes this very strong point. But if you see that in verse Aho Bakiyam Stana Kalakutam verse, he says, who will not take shelter of such a merciful Lord? And Bhagavatam says that who is that person who will not take shelter of such a Lord, who is so kind, so merciful, that just by bowing your head, he gave the same result which Lord Shiva was giving after so much pain to Raman. He says, Bhagavatam says that, it's a very famous verse actually, Nivritta Trishair Upagiyamana. And then it says, last line it says, Bhava Shuddha Stotra Manavirama Ka Uttama Shloka Guna Anumana Vada Puman Virajyata Bina Pashugna. He says, a person who is killer of animals, Pashugna, one who is killer of animals, or one who is killer of his own soul, will not have faith to take shelter of such a Lord. Who is not attracted to that Lord who is glorified by the best of the verses, who has qualities far beyond any devata, any demigod or any great personalities whom we know. So we can beg and pray to the Lord, his dear devotees, that we also can follow that verse of Samashrita and take shelter of the Lord. So we'll stop there and see if any comments or questions or corrections are there. Okay. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai.